Blog Talk Radio.
Loving kisses, loving sighs. To lose love's pleasure brings tears to my eyes. Love at first sight is so rare. Love may come late, but it always comes fair.
Still waters hide depth of vision, and all the things you've seen could fill the sea. You are filled to overflowing, but satisfaction is slow to reveal. You need a place to lay down your heavy load. Your weary heart and mind. Open your eyes and oasis shall appear like that.
Blessings and welcome to the Leopard Carpet tonight. My special guest is Wilberry Jordan, somebody that I've grown to love and appreciate with her eclecticness as a person, a spiritual being, and an absolutely amazing, gifted, creative soul. So I've been wanting her back on the Leopard Carpet with me. Well, actually, just back on the show. She was on the All Media Artist as a feature, oh gosh, maybe about a year ago. And
I've been here already.
All right. Hey, Wilberry, I opened up your line. So welcome to the Leopard Carpet, my friend.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year
to you,
too.
Has it really been a year already?
Oh,
have
you know what?
Have we already gone a year?
I'm thinking it's almost about a year. I should have looked back at when you were actually, you know, on the show, but it's been a while. And, you know, I've been trying to pay attention to you, you know, online and what's going on with you. And I was just so excited when you finally agreed to come back on the leopard carpet with me and, you know, allow me to share you with the listening audience of Flava News Radio and, you know, introduce you to some new people that may have not met you the first time you were on my show, and then play some of your amazing, amazing Flava and, you know, hear about the projects and all that you've got going on now and in the near future. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you again for having me. I enjoyed it the first time, and I was looking forward to it, just trying to get a bunch of things done and be motivated and stay, you know, excited. So I'm excited to be on the phone with you. I hope you can hear me. I have this vortex.
I can hear you just fine. And happy belated birthday.
Yay, right on. Thank you so much.
Well, Barry had a birthday actually on Valentine's Day, and she went and did some fun things to celebrate. So did you win any money?
I did not win any money, but I gained so much more in, you know, richness in my spirit, honestly.
Okay.
It was great. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, I know the first time that I had you on the show, you know, we kind of went through your journey, you know, and how you got in this industry, which was such an amazing story. So if you could, you know, kind of just briefly, you know, tell the listening audience again, you know, who are new to, you know, hearing your story and your Flava, you know, how did Waberry Jordan as the singer, songwriter, musician get birthed?
I think that I can answer that question 50 different ways, but
okay.
The person, you know, the way that I was thinking about it today, really this is, music has been something that I've done, you know, all my life since I can remember having memories or
okay.
something like that. So I started off singing and really being immersed in whatever was musical around me, and I played a flute or recorder and things in elementary school when we still had art in the schools. And really just stayed immersed. And then when I went away to college, the experience that I had in my community and the church around me was one thing. But when I went to college, I majored in music, and I at the time I was playing guitar, and I thought maybe I could major in guitar because I was playing by ear. But they didn't offer that, so I went for voice, and I thought it was going to be kind of gospel music or, you know, something that I was used to. I had no idea it was actually going to be classical singing. So I got to college and got immersed in some beautiful, amazing, necessary just things to do with your voice that just enhance what you have and pick up on all of the technical things about music that I may not have known, you know, theory and playing piano and et cetera. So came back from college and had, you know, in that time frame, I was married and had a daughter. And so that was the most important thing to me at the time. So we're talking about early 20s. And the most important thing at that point became, I tried to sing. I was doing some background vocals and some singing around with bands in the city. But once I had the baby, that just was the most, like, the time-consuming and demanding part of that journey.
Sure.
So I just concentrated on, you know, raising my daughter. And it so happened that my marriage didn't last in that, you know, in that moment. So it was my daughter and I, and I did all those things. And, you know, and then the spirit of this music and this art, I mean, considering what, as you grow up and considering what you really want to do with your time while you have it on the earth, I feel like, you know, we all have the right to do what we love. And I think that's the best service one can have on the planet, is doing what we love to do, because usually that is somehow it benefits others in the same, you know, in its existence that way. So, and everything else that I did, I just wasn't, you know, being satisfied outside of having my kid, but I should say my daughter, but you know, what kind of work was I going to do? And I've always been creative. You know, I was designing clothes and doing some, you know, not painting, but sketching, charcoal sketching. I was really good at that too, and just really wanted to try to figure out a way to make that my life, you know.
Okay.
It was so much more enriching. And then my daughter got to be about 13, and she was really jamming and excelling. So the universe and the ancestors called forth and were like, you got to get, you know, you got to do what you have to do what you love. And it just became something compelling. And I'm leaving out all of the other, you know, there's so many parts to that story that where the inspiration came from. But living in L.A. is such a rich culture of music here. And I was fortunate after coming out of college and I came back to the community that I grew up in, which is Los Angeles and very close to Lamar Park, and was introduced to the music of Horace Tapscott, which changed my life. After I've gotten out of college, I really couldn't find anything that could, you know, I love ensemble singing. I love singing with other people. So it was hard to find outside of the church something that I could do like that. And I met Sister Amina on the bus one day, and she invited me to come and hear the choir sing with Horace Tapscott, who I'd never heard of, but is a legend here in Los Angeles and the world. And so I did eventually. I didn't go immediately, but say maybe 6 or 7 months, we'd seen each other off and on in the city in our travels. So I did go, and the music changed my life, and I became a part of the great voice of UGMA as it relates to the Pan-African People's Orchestra here in Los Angeles. So
Okay. That
was, you know, it was so expansive, just, you know, completely original and creative music and interpretation of other great musics, and all by people who grew up here in the city and really advanced jazz. And so through my association in Leimert Park, I was fortunate and honored enough to have some time with Billy Higgins, who is the most recorded jazz drummer on the planet, in our galaxy, I think.
Okay.
You know?
I will definitely have to do my homework on that, and you know, but I trust that, you know.
It's a beautiful story. I have had tremendous opportunities, and so then I started to feel obligated, you know, I grew up with my grandparents and listening to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first music I was exposed to. Now, I grew up in the 80s, and I, of course, had my generational thing because I was a young person, and my grandparents all of a sudden became old. When I got to be about 9 or 10, 11, I started, you know, the Jackson 5 and Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Right.
And, you know, those kinds of things were things that I was interested in, and I couldn't understand, you know. Then I did my own thing for a while. But then I remember, you know, such amazing lessons and beautiful music that I had, you know, I knew, but I didn't know I knew it until I was immersed as an adult in jazz. And really it started in college. Not that I stopped liking it, but when I went to college and I started dealing with theory and classical music and arrangements, and then after the classes, you know, the core members of the band would get together and jam out, and they'd be playing jazz, and they'd be killing, you know.
Okay.
I was like 18 or 19, and it was my first sort of experience with people that I knew playing jazz, as opposed to records. Maybe, you know, and
right.
So then I really, and then singing spirituals, you know, Negro spirituals, you know, then you start to understand, you know, the history of jazz in a practical sense when you start singing all these arrangements that are just, you know, completely complex and rooted in our African music. So I've just been really, you know, I guess I've been really living, you know, these beautiful moments in music. And so,
well, it definitely sounds like you've been on an amazing journey, you know, to, you know, in different ways of your exposure, you know, to a variety of music, and then taking those experiences as a child within your own home to going to school, and, you know, then, you know, coming out with this amazing, you know, flavor that's just all your own.
Well, you know, it took a bit of that took a bit of nurturing, because so then I didn't grow up singing in the church specifically, so mm-hmm. I didn't. So in the communities, you know, maybe it was my generation or the people that were exposed to whatever music and what was supposed to be, because I didn't have a big, so like Aretha Franklin voice. Sometimes people didn't think that was singing. And I was inclined toward, you know, singer-songwriters, you
okay.
know. So
okay.
I was really into Phoebe Snow and
okay.
Joni Mitchell and, you know, sort of, like, I liked the Carpenters, and I was really into some eclectic things, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I liked everything, really, but I was inclining toward certain things that maybe some people didn't get right away. And I didn't understand, so I felt sort of intimidated by this other kind of voice that I had. And I guess the nearest thing I could relate it to would be, I guess, Phoebe Snow's voice, because it's so specific. And I wanted to sound like Natalie Cole. You know,
okay.
So it took a minute, and then, so it took a minute, and then maybe, and then choral singing with, you know, your voice is one voice when you're singing with, you know, even if you're singing with 50 people. So I got to L.A., I came back from college, and I started singing with the Arc, and, you know, I got a chance to sing at the, the Central Avenue Jazz Festival here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so many, you know, so many different occasions and places and things. And one of Mr. Dwight Tribble was leading and directing the choir, directing the voices for the Arc. And he's been my biggest supporter, and he's one of the most amazing vocal instrumentalists that I know on the planet. And that's not just my opinion. I had when someone told me about Mr. Dwight Tribble before, I had heard him sing, and they talked, you know, the adjectives, his angelic, he channels his ancestors. And so I couldn't wait to hear it, and I was at a festival one day. I was in the middle of a, you know, summertime in the Mer Park, one festival, and the stage is on one end of the, you know, street, and I'm on the other end of the street, and all of a sudden I hear this voice, and it just moves through me, and I knew immediately that had to be him. And he's amazing. He's been really supporting me, and he told me, you know, just one time, he's just like, do your thing, you know. Do you. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And when he validated that for me, it just somehow gave me the courage to go ahead and not be such an ego-centered about this, you know, this fun art music stuff. Because we all have a voice. You know,
sure.
So that's how I had to get over it. I had to get over myself.
Right.
You know.
Well, you
and
have
was,
a voice. I don't have a voice. So, you know,
I'll
lip sync.
It's a little different. I guess it speaks in different ways. Like your gift is this amazing ability to bring people together and present an idea that's, you know, like tangible and important with regard to talking about art and even in, you know, what we do every day. Some people do it with cooking,
right.
You know, with, you know, writing or other things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's something, you know, it's so funny. You know, well, you know, Sunflower in My Garden is one of my favorite shows, and I mean shows, songs, and
mm-hmm.
I play it, I sing to it, you know, but of course I can't sing in public, you know, to it, or, you know, because I'm like, okay, nobody, you know, nobody sounds like, you know, Barry Jordan, but, it, you know, Flava just like, okay, yeah, just keep that to yourself, you know, but I love it. You know, I love your music, and I know that you have such an interesting journey that we can stay here for like forever just hearing your story. But I do remember, if I remember correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say you had this interesting story around people not thinking because you are a female that you should play the guitar.
I just had, now on my birthday, I had a conversation. I was with someone that I hung out with, a friend of mine. I hadn't seen in a long time, and someone that I love dearly. And so she was relating to me. She's an elder. She's my elder, and she's, you know, a wonderful person. And she was talking to me about when she, maybe 5 years ago, no, maybe not so many, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when I was, you know, finally picked up the guitar and started to play. And she said that, you know, I would sit in the park. Lemur Park is a little community, like a very, really, it's maybe the park itself is one long block with these amazing stores and restaurants and things lining either side. And at one corner is a park area. There's grass and there's a beautiful fountain that's been seen in a lot of movies and videos. And in the summertime, it's beautifully, and the spring, it's beautifully sunny and breezy at the same time. So I'd sit in the park and practice. And she's like, I remember people saying, oh, you know, she thinks she can play guitar or some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was funny that, they somehow, well, I hadn't played for, you know, I hadn't really played it in front of anybody, so they didn't know that I could play. So all of a sudden I have this guitar and, you know, maybe I'm dreaming big or bigger. You know, nobody knew that I could play, so how are you going to play? What's it going to sound like? So, yeah, you know, it sounds, it's, I just want to play my tunes, you know.
Right.
And hopefully I can get better at all the instruments that I like to play. I don't only, you know. And so,
what
you
other
know,
instruments do you play then besides the guitar and like flute and recorder?
Oh, well, I don't really play flute and recorder now, but I do play piano as well.
Okay.
And I can play bass if I, you know, must. But, and, you know, some whatever percussive things I might want to hit on or shake or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know. And I'm interested in learning some other instruments, so I'd be really excited to take a class or two.
Sure.
I have a flute. Actually, I have a flute, a bamboo flute.
Uh-huh.
And I just found my fingering chart for it. And I was like, I should do that. I should. It's
you
a
should
beautiful
do that. Song.
A friend of mine made it, so I want to. I want to use, and I found, so, you know, there's the lesson there. There's the.
Well, obviously, if you found, you know, your finger chart or whatever, then it's meant for you to pull it out and, you know, and create from it too. I mean, that's just my thought. One of the things that I really loved about my first feature with you, Waberry, that in my mind kind of sets you apart from other artists that I've had on the show. There's something that, you know, okay, I use the word eclectic, just because there's just something very organic about you, not just in your own story, you know, but in your sound, which, of course, I'm going to play, you know, some other tracks during your feature today so people can really get to hear, you know, your voice and your flavor. But there's something that, to me, is so very spiritual about you. That you know, takes your sound, takes your story, and puts a different type of appreciation on it for me. I remember, you know, you talking about, you know, wanting to go to Africa and giving pilgrimage over there to the motherland, and just being able to share of yourself over there. And you know, I think that's such a beautiful thing, too, then, you know, just you don't have one of those sounds that, in my opinion, that can necessarily be duplicated. You know what I mean? It's like your own. I mean, I understand the fact that you have influences. You've had influences in your life along this journey. You know, I totally get that, you know, but there's something about, you know, your delivery, your sound, your stories that I hope this is okay to say. It just feels so hauntingly beautiful, like there's something that just kind of hits the soul, you know, when you hear you know, your flavor and all of that. And so, you know, I picture, I don't know, maybe this is like kind of crazy or whatever, but there was a point when before I became Lady Flav and everything, I was a domestic violence advocate, and I had the opportunity to go back to Chicago and represent my agency as a woman of color, you know, back at a women's conference back there. And I remember, you know, Angela Davis being the spokesperson, and you know, we did a libation, you know, ceremony. And there's something, you know, that it's like, you know, I don't know. There's those type of things for me when I think about them now versus back then. You know, I see, you know, being able to have just those type of experiences with you. And just really kind of going back to the ancestors and going back to the heritage of people, of life, and you know, and you know, elders, you know, to, you know, what is it that we are establishing right now? Whether it's just life experience or whether it's art experience, are we establishing ourselves as elders to be able to nurture those that come behind us as they enter on their journey, you know? And so when I think about you, I mean, does that sound crazy? Because this is just how I feel.
Honestly, let me say that. I think it's quite a testament to at least how I feel about what I do. And I want to thank you for reminding me with those words, because it was a moment when I was carrying my daughter. I was still, you know, I was pregnant. And so my experience, my going, you know, I didn't have the greatest, I didn't have a lot of information going in. While I was quite the researcher, I wasn't completely ignorant about biology and what was happening with my body, but the experience, the intimacy with a woman, women in my family who have gone through the birth process, I didn't have that experience, so I was kind of like alone inside of that experience. And for me, based upon, you know, what I learned in my life and my experiences in my life, I really wanted to be very serious about, you know, having children, even though it wasn't the most ideal circumstance or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That I could make, that because of us as people of color, the experience that we've had here in this country so far, I'm one in a line of women in my family who have given birth, and it's an honor, you know, and it's a high time for a woman. It's a high time in humanity when a woman is carrying a child. I think that's the way we should look at it. And I look back on history and I see in those times when people really regarded these things as important that, you know, cultures really evolved. And so how can we, you know, and that was my duty. And so when I did sort of this ritual and I felt really this connection, I said then I would try to connect with the ancestral energy that the women who came before me that did this with way fewer resources, to say the least, than I have, you know.
Right.
And so let me stand fast and be really a strong soldier. And I wanted to serve, you know, my ancestors in the way that, you know, was easiest for me, and in the way that they could help me do that. And to let my voice be one that can connect people to that energy. And so while you're saying that, you know, it makes me, it reminds me that it's really a real you know, that's my religious belief, you
mm-hmm.
know, my ancestral dharma, that, you know, I'm here because a lot of people who came before me made this journey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I owe my experience, at least in part, to honor that and to, put, you know, evolve it as best I can in the, given the circumstances. So this music is a part of, it's my breath, you know, and my, you know, the thinking of my mind and my heartbeat and all those things. It comes from that place. And I hope that it would, especially for women too, you know, as I grow up, I really understand what it's rough being a girl in this culture. And
sure.
And not only this culture, you know, on the planet.
Right.
It's a really interesting experience, you know. It's no joke, and women are empowered more than ever. And you can almost, and in the politics, you can almost see this hate that has developed toward what's feminine. And we, as women, and who have children, have got to sort of get to some serious alchemy to fix it. And whatever.
Well, you know,
And
I agree with you. You know, I embrace the fact that, you know, I'm a woman, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm a daughter, you know, so all
mm-hmm.
aspects of my world, you know, that make up who I am as Susan or as of Lady Flava. And
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, we are coming into a time where, you know, women feel that they need to battle for their position, you know, in a world against men. And so maybe in some ways take on and this is my opinion, take on maybe some mannerisms or characteristics that are considered masculine in a sense to, you know, to get out there and compete. You know,
right.
But I read a beautiful book that was given to me by my mentor, you know, that says, you know, okay, that's all good, you know, trying to fit into the world that way. But it's still really okay to be feminine and strong.
Right.
And make
right.
your point and make your stand and be valued, you know, in this world. And so,
right.
You know, and so that I think that was just my draw to you and just
uh-huh.
this honest, very natural feeling of, you know, the journey. I mean, I talk about journeys all the time with Barry, you know, with artists and stuff like that. And what does
yeah.
it really look like? But for me, uh-huh. yours is different, and it digs so much deeper, you know. And I don't know too. I mean, you've had an interesting story, life story, as a person to then being a creative soul. But I do really sense that you feel responsible, and I think it takes people like that, you know, creative souls,
you know,
and people just period to feel responsible not only for self, but for family and for community and for the world and for the art and how you can
right.
use your art to affect positive change.
Sure. I mean, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I do feel responsible because, well, it helps really when you have a kid, you know, this person
sure.
that depends on you for everything. I mean, if you're of healthy mind and body, you really have this inclining toward, you got to do that one. And then it starts,
right.
then you start to see how it, you know, how everything we do affects everyone around us. If you don't get that, I mean, you don't have to have children to get that. But that certainly, for me, validated, you know, all the lessons that I learned at home. I get it now. I understand what they were talking about and how we, one of the elders, the sister Amina that has now made her transcendence, but when I first met her, and she was a very dear friend of mine, we were talking one day, and she said that the girls in our culture have gone, you know, they've gotten out of hand because we let the ball drop as women.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first I was really angry and not really receiving that, but I thought about it, and I said, you know, and I've I have a daughter, and I was extremely vigilant with regard to her, you know. And I see that how it reflects upon us as generationally. You know, I am my sister's keeper, and I grew up in a house with extended family. And so
okay.
we have a different kind of family structure nowadays. And we sort of have to step in. And we, you know, you're right. She was right. And, I mean, I'm responsible for my own, you know, for what I leave on the planet, you know. I'm responsible for that. I have enough of my, you know, faculties to know that to be making decisions that should be helpful and not harmful. And, you know, to the best of my abilities. And people pay attention. And I get something, too, by, you know, writing these songs and or singing the songs and stuff like that. I get something, you know, back as well, you know, from the communication. It's really very cosmic and, you know, all those words. But it
right.
is. It's really very deep and healing and you know, with and whatever it is, it doesn't even have to be music. I mean, a great meal with friends or, you know, a night out dancing with your loved one or your friends or by yourself even, you know.
Sure.
A good book, you know, a great museum exhibit, all those things that make life beautiful. We need more of those things.
it's funny then the things that you just listed because, you know, one of the things that I talk about frequently on my show, probably with every guest that comes on, and I just, it's something I feel so extremely strongly about that, you know, art is healing, you know, and art is life. And it's something that we experience every single day in some aspect, and even just in what you stated just now, all of those things incorporate art, whether it's creating a meal, whether it is movement through dance, whether it's listening to music, whatever, all of that's art. And I think that sometimes, you know, Waberry, people take that for granted. And so when they take that for granted that every single day they experience art, then they don't understand and respect the underground, the independent artists that are coming up that may not, you know, that may not be a household name across the nation, you know, at that point, and that what they are creating is something that's so worthy to, you know, to be experienced. You know, it's like media tells us who we should appreciate when it comes to art. Okay, not necessarily what we really should appreciate, but they try to tell us that, right? You know, and you know, not having that, you know, that that experience where, you know, you can say, okay, this person I may not know, you know, but they're creating something that, you know, I really appreciate, and I can see and I can feel and I can, you know, touch and taste and all of that in my daily, you know, journey, you know, as somebody who loves art. So just to let you know, Waberry, your line is back open again.
Yeah.
But but, you know, I mean, I just I think about, you know, music in that way and art in that way, that every single day we experience it and we don't even necessarily recognize, you know, that beauty. So, you know what, let me jump into one of your tracks because, you know, I could talk to you all day, you know, but I do want people to, you know, I do want people to get a taste of, you know, your flavor. So I'm going to play After Hours by my special guest tonight, Waberry Jordan.
After hours, while the whole town is sleeping, I find myself keeping a rendezvous with the ghost of you. After hours, I ask the same faces for it be new. Oh, it's the same old blues. Someday, somewhere, I'll find you, and I'll keep searching till then, knowing that when I find you, I'll start living again, so to bed. Though my vigil is ending, I still keep pretending you're with me the rest of my days, 'cause I'll keep loving you after hours and always. I'll keep loving you. Thank you.
We were just listening to After Hours by my featured guest on the Leopard Carpet tonight, Miss Waberi Jordan. That particular piece, you know, Waberi is just like, oh, you know, okay. So would you like me to describe what I picture a setting?
Yeah.
In hearing that piece?
Yes.
Okay, so I kind of, you know those old-time clubs, you know, that just kind of like had the wooden floors and, you know, maybe Billie Holiday, you would see her there and, you know, people are like smoking cigarettes and cigars or whatever and, you know, I just kind of picture like sitting at a table, right? I don't smoke cigarettes and never have, right?
Okay.
But sitting there smoking a cigarette, right, with a glass of brandy and a brandy snifter, and I rarely drink. So it's like, why am I visualizing this, right? But, and just like being into myself, like, you know, you being up there on that stage, sitting on the stool with your guitar or whatever, playing the piano, and I'm like, yeah, that's my story. Like, you know, just like totally into myself and just feeling my emotions at that moment and just, you know, kind of like the head down, eyes closed, as if I was the only person in the room.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I didn't write that song. That song was originally the only version I've ever heard, and I'm trying to find other versions if there are. Was Diane Reeves.
Okay.
And so I don't know where this, I can't find the sheet music for it. I had a wonderful friend of mine transcribe it from the recording for me so that I
could
sing it and play, you know, sing it live. So it's one of those songs. When I heard her sing it, and, you know, I shouldn't tell everybody, so let me go listen to her version and then go, okay, that's how it's supposed to go. But it just had me the same way. It has this really, you know, I can relate it to a love that, you know, never quite could be what I had envisioned it to be and stuff. And it does give this, it's a very blues song, you know.
Yeah.
And that it's very bluesy in terms of its sentiment. And, you know, I see it, I always just, you know, singing it, I can just feel that I'm alone somewhere, and because I can't, you know, I guess we've made the decision that we can't have this thing happen, and just that feeling. Yeah, it's a really beautiful song.
It is beautiful, and I love the way that you perform it, because it just makes you feel it. Like, that's why I say it's like you've got this style that just like almost hits you in the gut, you know what I mean? Because they're like a lot of artists, you know, when you experience them, maybe you hear the beat, the music first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what kind of like makes you pay attention. And then maybe you have to hear it a few times and you really get the words. You go back and you hear the words, right? No,
this is
about just like, you know, hearing the words and hearing the delivery. And even if you don't really get the words, you're like, you're just like so, so into it, and just like, okay, you know, this is how I feel, you know, and you know, almost not that I should say, okay, you know, you're sitting there drinking your brandy and you start crying or whatever, you know, but it's like, you know, just allowing you to feel, and that's one of the things, you know, another thing that I talk about too is, you know, that's how beautiful art can be, music can be, visuals can be, books can be, if they can make you feel. Think the artist did their job, you know?
Pardon me. And it's true. And I also want to mention the piano player who played for me. That his name is Mahesh Balasaria, and he is, probably because he is playing the song, it comes through in that way because he's phenomenal.
Sure.
He's just a beautiful soul. And I'm known him for a few, you know, quite a few years now here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
He lives here and plays everywhere. And I wanted to mention that, and it was recorded at my wonderful friend and brother, whose name is Jam Messenger Divine, but I call him Daryl. Well, Big Brother, but he put that together for me as well. So I wanted to shout them out because I don't remember all the time that there's so many other people that really, you know, support and are part of the music. So,
right.
Yeah, this art is important. You know, this communication, and so it transcends all kind of boundaries and
mm-hmm.
you know, language barriers and you know, cultural differences. Music is this great unifier. Well, music and art, you know, but
right.
we tend to, you know, it's almost immediate when it's music, and if we're open to this, everybody has a expression on the planet, you know, and
there
it's
you
all
go.
Valid. All of it's valid, you know. Every single solitary living, breathing thing, and even the rocks and stones, you know, it's all necessary and it's harmonious. And when it's harmonious, it's a great moment in evolution, I think. I agree with you.
And I think that
definitely,
you know,
we got to do something differently nowadays because this stuff we've been doing for the last X amount of time is not working.
No, it's not working. You know, and I say this, I strongly feel it, you know, that artists really have the power to change the world. I really believe that, you
mm-hmm.
know, and if it's through your art, what it is that you create, what is it that you want people to walk away with feeling, you know, and knowing and getting, you know, out of the experience of your art, you know, and I think that we can change the world. You start creating things that allow people to feel, you create things that can uplift, you know, a spirit, you know, because I think that art has that power that, okay, you know, I might wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right? But I
right.
put in a certain track or I look at a certain painting and it's like, okay, Flav, you know what? You gotta get out that funk, you know, because you got too many blessings, you know, to be in that funk. So come experience me so I can help you get there. And I think that, you know, art is that power, you know, and I just really would love to see artists step up and take, you know, ownership of that, you know, and do their part in
yeah.
wherever they are, you know, and connect with those that can help them, you know, put
yeah.
their message out there, you know, because this is
yeah.
global. It's not just, you know, within ourselves, within our families, within our communities or whatever. We can take this global. And that's the beautiful thing of nowadays is that we can
take it
global.
Fine,
so very easy.
I'm so right now, my internet is down. I can't reach out
right.
to touch the rest of the planet, you know, like, it's great. We have a tremendous opportunity. And I think that, you know, many of us are human beings are trying. You know, I think that some folks don't have a lot of information and they've been hurt, beat down by whatever. And it takes a bit of, you know, coaxing to get them to see. But, you know, the children, and they're so impressionable, we just have to sort of get real, real serious about our children and then lead by example, you know, I guess.
There you go.
And then, you know, when you're doing what you love to do, it just resonates out, like, period, it does. I mean, we all have
right.
to pay bills and, you know, this economy, you know, we're all struggling to survive in it and worried about how we're going to survive in the future, but I think your best ideas come from when your mind is in this other vibration, this joyful vibration. And
mm-hmm.
we have to convince people that there's another way. And let's try this fun stuff. Let's try the fun stuff and the beautiful things. Because cultures are remembered by their art and their war.
That's how we.
You know, and so which one are we going to, like, get with? And
okay,
clearly the war
point.
Stuff now. We've had enough of that now.
There you go.
You know,
that's a great
that's
point.
That's not working. As a matter of fact, that's making it worse. So now let's try to make beautiful things. And you know, time tells it all, I guess, too. You know, time will tell. These next 100 years will be, you know, when I leave the planet, it's all... you know, over from my Well, I don't know how that goes either. That's something I think about. But certainly my part in it, my physical part in it is over. And so now everything then is a legacy.
Well, and I think the beautiful thing, though, you know, with you, Waberry, is that you are creating that legacy to leave behind, you know, because the music, you know, that you're creating. I mean, I've seen some of your sketches and things like that, too, you know, and so just that creative side of you, you know, and the storytelling and all, you know, is something that will always live on, you know, and, you know, you are creating something that, you know, people are going to be able to sit down and appreciate years from now. It's not a new, you know what I mean? It's not something that's just for the moment. It's something that, you know, can go way beyond 2012, you know, and be appreciated, you know, in the future and to be shared. And, you know, I think that's the beautiful thing, you know, and so that's where that's my goal. You know, that's my goal, is to be able to be somehow instrumental in all of that. So to connect with artists that I think are absolutely amazing, such as yourself, to be able to say, you know what, you really need to pay attention to this. You know, you need to pay attention to Waberry Jordan. And the reason being is this. And I think what better person, you know, or people out there around the world to sell who you are as people who love what you do. You know, if we start opening our mouths and flapping our gums and saying, you know what, pay attention.
Right.
You know, sunflower in my garden, you need to really hear that. You need to experience that. You know, it's something that's going to make you smile. It's something that's going to make you feel. Every time you go and you see a sunflower, think of a Waberry Jordan. You know what I mean? So you know, isn't that funny? Because I just feel that way, you know, because,
that's,
you know, I
awesome.
Love leopard print, right? So it's
and
like,
you know,
every time you
awesome.
See some
that's,
leopard print.
That's a grace. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you for being in that place, you know, that can help us. We can all, you know, we're all, and absolutely, I love talking to you. I can't believe it's been a year. Let's not make it a year anymore, because
I know it.
Get so much out of it just for, you know, for the next moment of going forward. It's so awesome. Thank you. And, you know, I think we just have to keep, you go back and forth, because then your ego and gets involved, or you got to pay bills, you know, and is it worth investing, or, you know, all these things. I have so many amazing artist friends, you know, and people that I love so much that are incredible, but, you know, we all struggle to just, you know, pay our bills, pay our rent and our groceries.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Around us. And then people, even those who had a lot of money, you know, or those who we thought had a lot of money or had more than what we have, are you know, not able to do the same. You know, it just, so is it worth it? But it is worth it. It's absolutely worth it in the short haul and in the long haul, really, because it just takes off a lot of stress when you play, you know, doing what you love just feels great. And then, That's for the immediate satisfaction, and then somebody gets something from it every time.
Exactly.
That is so gratifying, and it's so life affirming. You know, that it just, it's so worth it, and it's not even just one. People are really ready to receive, and
I think that they are.
You know, and I said, we don't have if they're ready or not, here it comes.
Well, you know what?
You know
I think sometimes, Waberry, people don't even know that they need it. You know what?
Right.
I think they don't always know that they need it, but if we have that opportunity to get in their face with it, they're going to say, wow, I wish I had experienced this a year ago, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And
then,
now
it's, now is perfect.
Sure. It is. It's,
you know?
It's really perfect, you know, to step up and take that on. I don't think that everybody's meant to do it, though. You know what I mean? I think that I don't think that everybody has the character. Definitely the talents are out there, right? But I think it takes much more in character and determination and hard work to put into what it is to step out there, you know, to really be heard and recognized and make those right connections or whatever. And not everybody has that within them, you know, to figure that all out, you know. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And I know that artists, because even myself, I get into, you know, funks myself and say, okay, you know, Flav, is this really worth it? Oh, my goodness. You know, this is just like, this is so not working. And then, you know, I take a day or two off and I'm like, you know what, I need to do a show. I don't care if nobody's listening. I need to do a show. I need to do this. Right. I need to do that. And I get right back at it, you know, because I just, it's in me. It is a part of who I am. So I know that for many artists and creative souls, you know, it's the same way. So, you know, before we run out of time with Barry, let's talk about Sunflower in My Garden, because I know it's like one of your signature songs. I know it's one of my very favorites the very first time. You know, I heard it. I just saw the title. You know, it meant so much to me because, you know, my family's from Sunflower, Mississippi. I love sunflowers. You know, I have a sunflower tattoo on my leg, you know, and so it's like, it's one of those, you know, happy, you know, flowers and all of that. So tell a story about Sunflower in My Garden, and then let's talk about this video that you got coming out.
Okay, well, Sunflowers is was written by myself and this amazing spirit named Zamzam Asar, and he lives in, I think he's in Alabama. Oh, maybe he moved. Oh, my goodness. At any rate, a few years ago, and he sent me some music, and I just had this amazing image. It just brought up this sunflower. So I just wrote these words to this music and tried to, you know, hope he liked it. And then at the same time I was writing, I had no idea. He lives in Alabama. I live in L.A. And he was planting sunflowers in the window right up in front of his studio where he, you know, does all this music. So
okay.
I sent him the song at the same moment that he's planting the sunflowers. And that was just, that's just one of many amazing things that happened in our connection. But It just came. I don't even, you know, I always thought it was the corniest thing ever, you know, like who writes about sunflowers, but.
Really? Okay.
I thought like I had no intention of writing about a sunflower or, I mean, I do love them and I love all kinds of flowers, but this particular music just conjured up these images. And he was planting the sunflowers at the same moment. And so that, you know, the song, and it does, people love it, people are touched by it, and it makes me, you know, it's awesome. And even now, I don't know if you knew this, but they are saying that sunflowers can help clean the soil somehow of radioactivity. So after the nuclear disaster, tsunami in Japan, they're urging people to plant sunflowers all over the place because it helps draw this toxic waste out of the soil, which I think is just awesome. I think that's, of course it does. Look at it.
Okay.
You know, representation of our sun. And so, so then because of all of those great response to the song, I have a beautiful version of it, that I did with Build an Ark, which is another music ensemble here in L.A. that I'm involved with, and we did a beautiful orchestrated version of that song. And so I want to make a video for the song. I mean, this is the 21st century, and there's so much video stuff. And so I wanted to see some images that sort of translate the sentiment and the feeling of that comes with the song. And so I embarked on an Indiegogo campaign, and my goal was $5,000. I didn't quite make that goal, but I did learn an amazing and valuable lesson, and I'm so grateful to everyone who did donate because it is going to make this video happen. And so we are thinking now to, this is L.A., so flowers are always blooming, but right about now in the next few weeks, the sunflowers will be blooming, and we want to be able to use images of really alive flowers. So we're going to go in the next
week. Wait.
And do some creative, you know, stuff.
Right.
I don't know even. I'm so excited. I'm just really thrilled.
Well, when I saw that, you know, you were going to do a video on this song, I'm like, yes. I'm just like, oh, you know, yeah. I mean, it brought an immediate smile to my face, you know, and that's, you know, and that's just, you know, the beauty, you know, the beauty of it. I mean, yeah, you got to definitely, I mean, you've had a fan in me for, you know, a year or however long it has been, but it's like, that song is one, in my mind, that's, you know, that's going to be a classic. You know what I mean? That one's just going to be, you know, remembered. And if nothing else, I am going to make sure people remember that song as long as I'm on the airwaves and that, you know, what it is that I'm doing. Because it's just, yeah, it makes me feel good. So before I go any further, I got to play the song for you. So everybody who has not heard me play it can hear it tonight and, you know, understand. You know, why I feel the way that I do and why Woodberry is doing this amazing video to it. So, Sunflower in My Garden by Woodberry Jordan.
Hello, pretty yellow flowers of the sun. So nice to see you when I rise. When I look outside my window, I behold Mother Nature's grand design. There's a festival of color blazing in the morning sunshine. But the sight that brings me so much joy and puts a smile on my face is the golden yellow petals of my favorite bloom as it crowns this sacred space. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path. It's amazing that something so beautiful begins as a simple seed. And the very thing designed to make it grow reflects the thing that it would be. To wake each day and bathe within this solar flower's golden ray. Creation set before your very eyes. This flower sees the sun along its way. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path. Flowers of the sun, so nice to see you when I rise. Hello, pretty yellow, flowers of the sun, so nice to see you. Perfect way to begin the day. Beautiful golden sunflowers on display, planted in the garden, born on solar wind, turns itself toward the sun as the day begins. What a perfect way to begin the day. Beautiful golden sunflowers on display, planted in the garden, born on solar wind, turns itself toward the sun as the day.
right, Sunflower in My Garden by my special guest tonight, Waberi Jordan. Now, Waberi, when do you anticipate the video might be out for people to view?
We're looking at the spring, right, okay, smack dab in the center of the spring season.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, and I will keep everybody more informed as it draws, as the time draws nigh. Hopefully we get to play some nice gig and debut it here in the city. And
there you
go. Go to places and debut it. Why not?
Exactly. You know, get the club or whatever to play that video up on their screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's not right. It's going to be great. So
there you go.
2012 is rolling on, and I'm excited. I'm really excited. I thank you. So just, I love being on the show, so we'll have to do it again. I'll send, then
definitely,
the internet will be up, and I'll send some new tracks. I'm also working on my new CD, so I'm really excited about this music.
yeah, I'm excited about being able to share you. You know, it's a wonderful journey, you know, to watch you Waberi, and you know, and I appreciate this opportunity. I do not take it for granted. You know, I am so very, very blessed with some amazing, amazing creative souls, you know, that have come my way, and I do not take that for granted. So, you know, I know that this particular track, if I remember correctly, you performed overseas, I want to say in Europe, and you spoke on the fact that it was, like, so amazing to perform this particular track, this song, and people knew the words.
Yes, I was just, it reminded me of that when we were playing it. We got to London, we played it in London and in Amsterdam, and when we got to London, hardly anybody really, I guess people here know it, but I know nowhere near that kind of exposure to the song. And so we got there, and I was nervous as all get out, and I got up there and sang and tried to make it beautiful, and they knew the words.
That's so amazing.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
It was a great feeling, and yeah, I'm glad that people love the song, touched by the song. Even in, you know, and now, you know, in the audiences now, there are a few people who know the song when I play it. So it's a great thing.
That's a great honoring.
Sounds
I would
so
imagine
great.
That's just got to be something just, you know, out of this world to be able to look out into an audience and see, you know, people singing along with you. Now, when you were out in New York over the holidays, did you go out to perform?
I did perform on Christmas Eve. And that was fun. I played at a place called the Underground Lounge. I played a couple times before. I played, I guess, in 2009, maybe twice, I think, and then again this year, in 2011. And that was really, really fun. So some old friends came that I hadn't seen in a while. A couple people came in from other states, and it was great. It was, you know,
amazing.
A beautifully mild winter experience in New York. It wasn't snowing. It was probably around 40, hovered around 40, 38 degrees, which was doable. You know, it wasn't horrible in that way that I always imagined a New York winter could be.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was fun. It's a great little club there in Manhattan. My daughter came. Some amazing musicians that I know in New York City that I don't get a chance to hear or see often. It was really fun.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Everything else I'm sorry.
No. You're fine.
Oh, I was just saying that my daughter turned 21 on the 27th of December, so mostly focused on trying to, like, experience that milestone with her. And it was fun time.
Oh, how special. That's beautiful.
That was really beautiful.
I know that you had posted it out there that you were going to New York, and you were in New York, and then when you were returning, I'm like, okay, did she go out there to perform? I bet that was just amazing. So that's very special.
I want to play more, but that's okay too, because it was fun. It was fun partying.
Right.
Holiday time was great. Yeah.
So tell me this, you know, before we run out of time, what projects do you have on the horizon past, you know, the video for Sunflower in My Garden?
Well, the next thing I'm looking at is the CD that I'm going to work on now as well.
Okay.
New songs and just really trying to capture something with this, you know, with some amazing players here in L.A. I'm really graced to have a lot of beautiful musicians for friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really comfortable. And that's like my biggest goal after this video.
Okay.
Or as well as the video, because I guess it's going to take, I hope that however it happens, it can happen, you know, really quickly if it's good, or if I have to take my time, and then hopefully by the summertime I'll be able to get around and play and play some places in the United States outside of L.A.
Okay.
You know, yeah, that's kind of like some new stuff I want to do. I want to go New York is great too, and go to New York and go to some places like that I'm interested to take the music. Chicago and, you know, Philadelphia, where some great players are, and maybe even leave the country again. You know?
Okay.
Well, hopefully,
like
I'd like to have it really, you know, ideally I'd like to, the goal is to really be busy with this art. So hopefully by the summer I'm just immersed in doing this kind of stuff, you know. Full time and all over the place.
There you go. Well, you know, if you ever have an interest to come to the Pacific Northwest, you know, stay in touch with me, and you know, we may be able to make that happen for you, because that's one of the things that I'm working on through Flava News is you know, setting up showcases for artists to come to town to perform up here in the Pacific Northwest in Canada. So
I'm so open to that.
So definitely, you know, stay in touch with me and maybe we can work that out. So I'm just, you know, I appreciate you. I do. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you back.
You know, I think that we as women need to come together and create this sisterhood again, you know, and, you know, come to love each other and respect each other again and to set that example for our daughters, for the generations to come behind us, you know, along with just all children and all people. I think we as women, I talk about artists definitely having power, but I think that we as women, we can definitely affect that change too. And you are somebody that I definitely feel that from, you know. And, you know, one day we'll bury Jordan, whether it's here in the Pacific Northwest or I get down there to California, you know, I'm going to experience you in person. That is just one of my life goals, is definitely to, you know, man. And just
tell
you,
I want to play, and I want to meet you and play with you too. So I'm looking forward to, you know, this 21st century is amazing. So
anything's
really
possible.
Happening.
You know?
Everything is possible, and I'm totally, you know, committed to. I hope you heard me say that I appreciate you, and I mean that in the most, you know, truthful manner about just your commitment to supporting artists and art and with women too, you know, as sisters. And then I also, like, because brothers really need the same. And it's for the brothers too. There's art, you know.
Yes, it is.
But
yes,
the balance,
yes,
the balance,
not just
we have to
eliminate
have.
That. Right.
These brothers need, and we're working on. You know, the brothers need their own voice as well. They have to hear it from the men. So we're working on these things that may be able to reach out to males and females as we need this specific help, and then as we can, then you know, because it's all about the balance. We need the strength and character that men bring to the table, but we have to get a balance because the sisters got left out. They got left out and kind of, you know, down-pressed. So hopefully we all, you know, we can. This music, I think, sometimes it really empowers people, and especially women. That's what I've been getting from the discussions and the people who come and talk to me about what they experience.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, I think that's really, really important. You know, that really, really it's part of our healing mechanism, as well as our Advils and all those other things that may be not organic. These things really resonate on our electrical bodies. I could just talk on and on.
I think the
sisterhood is important, and I'm so honored. I'm so glad to be a girl, you know.
I'm so glad that we finally did this, you know, and I agree with you. You know, we don't have to wait so long, you know. I mean, once you have that video coming out, girl, you can come back on the show again. We could talk about the video, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
It's like,
good.
You know, I'm here to support you, you know, and love you and embrace your music and share you with the world as far as I can take you. You know, that is my pledge and promise, you know, to you and the artists that, you know, that I have embraced within my family and all of that. So it's just, it's been a beautiful experience again, Woodbury, to have you come on the leopard carpet with me tonight. And, you know, definitely, you know, stay in touch with me and keep me updated on all your projects and let me know how I can best support you, if there's some way that I can support you. But, yeah, we definitely can talk about, you know, in the future, you know, if you have that interest to come to the Pacific Northwest, we can definitely work on doing that.
Okay.
And so, you know what, I am going to go ahead and close out the show, but I want to close out the show with A Strange Fruit. What do you think? All right, my friend. So thank you so very, very much again. I want to thank everybody who listened to the show live, to all the many people that are hanging out on the switchboard with us tonight, because there's quite a few Woodbury on the phone, listening to the show from coast to coast. So that's a beautiful thing. I thank you all for that.
Thank
I thank
you.
Those that come back and check out the archives of this show. I think it's something worth listening to. And Woodbury Jordan is somebody that Flava News definitely puts their stamp on as an artist that deserves to be recognized, heard, and shared with the world. So I'm going to close out tonight again with a piece by Woodbury Jordan, and it's called A Strange Fruit. Good night.
Good night. Thank
you.
All right. We were just listening to A Strange Fruit by my special guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Miss Waberi Jordan. Please pay attention. I think she's an absolutely amazing woman, creative soul, and, you know, just somebody to experience, you know, in so many, many ways. Every time you see a sunflower, think of Waberi Jordan and find that track, Sunflower in My Garden. If you haven't heard it, you know, pay attention to Flava News Radio because we definitely play it over here. We'll be getting some new music from Waberi in the very near future. She's got a beautiful video that's going to be coming out in a matter of months and that you can experience, you know, Sunflower in My Garden through a visual. I cannot wait. And you best believe I'll be one of the first getting it out there for you to see. So take care, God bless, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight. The artists make this all worthwhile, and you, the fans that listen to Flava News Radio, make it such a blessing for me. Take care, God bless, good night.